Hello and welcome to Wise Women, The Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experience of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything.
Hello and welcome. And I'm going to ask you directly, Susie, what's going on? There's something in the field.
Oh, there is something in the field. So you've noticed it too.
Oh, good Lord, yes, the whole world seems to be falling round about down about my head. I'm holding okay, but I've got this agitation. I'm walking into anxiety. I'm having to work about not pulling it in. A lot of my friends and colleagues are going through dramatically difficult times. And I mean dramatically, the sort of thing you might find on EastEnders, you know. I wouldn't know.
Dear,
I don't watch.
I'm so sorry.
You know, just sort of, what? How did that come out of the blue? So I know we've had four planets in Aquarius. I know it's all about revolution and revelation. I know we're still going through a pandemic and it's been a year and it's all too much for everybody. I know it's spring, we've got spring fever, but I think there's something else too.
To be honest, I was going to turn that right around and say, to me, there is so much in the field that I have taken to going, well, I think there's something in the stars.
Yes.
So is there something in the stars?
Oh, yes. A year ago, we had Pluto-Saturn conjunction in Capricorn, which was basically go to your room and think about what you've done. And then we've had Jupiter, Saturn, Moon, and one other planet, sorry, forgotten which one, in a stellium in Aquarius. And Aquarius is all about revelation, revolution, the internet, electricity, mental health, and mental health's the biggie, I think. We're all really feeling it now.
Yeah. I mean, I think on a kind of pseudo-psychological level, bearing in mind that I am not a psychotherapist, even never mind a psychologist. But what I see is that as the end of lockdown comes, two opposing things are happening as usual. There's this and. And that I think the polarity of the and is becoming really quite extreme. So on the one hand, we're all really looking forward to being allowed out. On the other hand, it's not soon enough. For our psyches, we're having to wait too long.
Yeah.
For our kind of, our emotional capacity to keep on holding this is really being tested to the limit.
Yeah.
And then I think there's another pair of ands. We're all so longing to, you know, hug a friend, have a cup of tea. Good grief, even maybe have a little gathering or something. Have a party.
Cuddle your new puppy.
Yeah, see six people simultaneously, never mind one.
And or at least refuse to see six people simultaneously. Have the option for those of us who are more introverts.
Yes. But at the same time, we've become so unused to it.
Yes.
Our bodies are totally attuned to the vibrations of a very small number of people now. And basically, they're the people we live with. So if we live alone, our bodies are effectively not attuned to the vibrations of other human beings to a degree. And if we live with, you know, as I do, with during lockdown, I've had my husband and two of my sons here. And so I'm very much attuned to their particular vibrations, to being, in my case, exclusively with masculine beings, with the exception of male beings, with the exception of the three chickens. And I know in me... The wisest thing you've ever said, Matt.
I know. And just totally untranslatable, unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately, yes. I just know that in me, one of the kind of anxieties in a way that's coming up is, will I be able to? I was never much for one for small talk. I've always been rubbish at it. And the older I've got, the less good I've become. But now I suspect my capacity for small talk is nil. And so when I'm out there in the world meeting these new humans, is it going to be okay to go straight for the deep dive, you know? And if it isn't, I know there's a big piece of me that's not going to be able to be bothered.
Yes.
And, you know, so I think there are so many reasons why we're feeling anxious.
Yes, there are. But it's important for us to acknowledge that everybody's got it.
Yeah, seems like it.
It's the field. Yes, it's how we are. And we've got to navigate our way through. And so much, I came off Facebook this last week because I overreacted on somebody because they'd overreacted on me. And I deleted her comment and unfriended her because she was going, I'm not going to laugh at this man. He's not funny. He's a crook. He's a this, he's a that. And she's probably right. I don't know. It's the spiritual teacher called Osho, who I know got a lot of flack for driving in a Rolls Royce. And I don't know what turned out with him. It may well be he turned out to be a very bad man indeed. But I just posted something funny that he said. Mm-hmm. And part of me was going, oh, for God's sake, why are we taking offence so much? No, I'm not having it. Deleted her remark and then decided to unfriend her. And then after she messaged me and went, well, that's ironic, I realised she was absolutely right because I had taken offence at her taking offence and I'd reacted.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went, oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's good. What a pair of grown-ups you two turned out to be. Well done. So that is, as usual, the vicar and the witch are so on the same page. Guess whose oracle I have picked today.
Oh, you're joking.
No.
Does Osho have an oracle?
Yep. And I've no idea whether he was a very bad man. I must admit I hadn't particularly heard that he was a very bad man. He, in his oracle, the Osho Zen Tarot, he's a very wise man indeed.
It's one of those interesting things, isn't it? How many gurus go weird?
Yeah. Back with follow the light and not the lantern.
Yes, exactly. Stuart Wilde went weird. I thought he was amazing, but he went down the lizard path eventually. And of course, David Icke went down the lizard path. And there's so many people who just get wrapped up in the pan, the whole Doreen Virtue thing. We talked about the whole
Somebody said the other day that Doreen Virtue, they were kind of like boo hiss, you know.
Well, Doreen Virtue was the primary angels teacher.
Yeah, that's all I know about
her. I actually met her and I thought she was a complete flake. Sorry, but I did.
Okay.
Met her in Seattle and I was on the way back from Montana to Spain with my dog, and it was this life-changing situation of bringing the dog back from America. So, in fact, all I had in the world was two suitcases, a laptop computer and a beagle. No home, no job, no country, no future, no anything. I didn't know what was going to happen apart from going to Spain that day.
Right.
And Doreen Virtue's students came and sat near me in the hotel while they were having a break and started talking to me, and I told them no home, no future, and they thought I was some kind of guru instead of some really scared little girl going, oh god, I don't know what's gonna happen. And they went to Doreen and fetched her, said, you've got to meet this woman, she has no keys, no job, no, she's just, you know, living in the cosmic ether. And Doreen came out in turquoise, she wore a lot of turquoise, and was incredibly awkward with me because she'd been forced to come out.
Right.
And then went away again, and I thought, well, you could have been a bit more gracious. So that was my rubbish about Doreen Virtue. But I never really liked her teachings much. They seemed fluffy. But now she's got Jesus.
How, did she not have Jesus before?
Not really. Not really. But she's now got Jesus telling her that all the angel teaching was evil and it was Satan, and that she'd been rescued from the trough and she'd been teaching heinous, terrible things. Well, no, she'd been actually not been teaching with great discernment, but there wasn't, she was a good one for beginners. And now she's completely unaware that the same level of entity is still working her.
Whoa.
That would be my view on it. And obviously, I don't know her, but what's going on is she's come out with the that's all evil. You've got to turn back to Jesus.
And whoa! So she's completely dissing her own.
Absolutely dissed everything she's ever taught.
Wow, bizarre,
isn't it bizarre?
Yeah,
but
that explains why I thought she was dead then. The only two things I thought I knew about Doreen Virtue is that she channeled angels or something, and and had angel tarot cards, was dead. So I thought, oh, well, there we go.
Maybe she is. The amount that we don't know is quite extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, the amount I know is, yes, quite breathtaking. I mean, the amount I don't know, rather. Uh-huh.
Right, so we have an Osho
Zen Tarot.
Right.
Subtitled The Transcendental Game of Zen.
Cool.
Which appeals to me greatly. And the card I have picked this morning, I don't think I've ever seen before. Now, as a person who doesn't necessarily pull cards every now and then, you may not know this, but one tends, or it has been my experience, and I know it's the experience of a few others that I know, you tend to get a selection of,
yes.
At a wild guess, maybe about a quarter of a pack or something comes up for you
because
pretty
it's
often.
Your energy, it's your energy. Field, yes.
It's your field, it's related to you, yeah. It's what you need to know.
Mm.
And I don't think I've ever seen this card in my life before. I mean, apart from when I looked through in the very first place to see what the deck was about. So it is the Nine of Rainbows. So
sorry.
No sniggering. So it's all for Osho, Rainbows is all about mastery of the physical. So he's divided the minor arcana into fire is mastery of action, water is mastery of emotion, clouds are mastery of mind, and rainbows are mastery of the physical, which I quite like that. And it's a very psychological deck.
And Aquarius, ruled by the Archangel Uriel, sign of Uriel is the rainbow. Oh, so thank you for a little bit of extra synchronicity, all you guys up there who are working so far hard.
Yeah.
Guys and girls.
Synchronicity upon synchronicity. So ripeness is a picture of some very ripe plums. I must say, I don't particularly like the art on this deck, and I don't know who did it. I'm sorry. Person who did it, and in fact, the person who did it is really not particularly acknowledged. Anyway, I won't spend.
By the way, if there's background noises, I've got beagles chewing things and playing in the background.
Oh, okay.
So.
I also have puppy.
You
on
do.
Sofa.
I can see him bouncing
things.
Around in the back. Yes. Shall I tell people when he starts shagging your arm, or shall
no,
we?
No, if you wouldn't mind not. Thanks.
Just in the interest of transparency.
Okay. Well, luckily they can't see us.
Oh, hello, Django. I see your pretty face now.
Mm.
Off you go.
Get off. Okay, so the card for ripeness. It says, first of all, there's a commentary. And it says, when the fruit is ripe, it drops from the tree by itself. One moment it hangs by a thread from the branches of the tree, bursting with juice. The next moment it falls, not because it has been forced to fall or has made the effort to jump, but because the tree has recognised its ripeness and simply let it go. I do apologise about Django.
We have
when
a frequent hands in
this
podcast.
Yeah, I might have to go and let him out in a sec. When this card appears in a reading, it indicates that you are ready to share your inner riches, your juice. All you need to do is relax right where you are and be willing for it to happen. And basically it goes on about the ways in which we might share. And then the last thing it says is, you just need to gather courage to enter into your inner forest. The fruit is always ripe and the time is always the right time. There is no such thing as the wrong time. I'm very sorry about my dog.
Your dog is jumping. I wish this were videoed because you could see this
in
the face jumping up and going, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What is this?
Yeah.
It's quite hard to socialise them, isn't it, at the moment?
It's very hard to socialise
them. Well, you can't
them.
Socialise them.
No, I mean, luckily for us, we've got another dog.
Yeah.
Who is, I might say, the most patient dog in the entire planet.
Yeah.
And despite being 13 and a half or something, has put up with having a puppy chewing his ear and going, hey, Drew, wake up, the whole time.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's been amazing.
Oh, dog. Susie pauses to love her puppy.
Yeah.
Right, so it's basically about allowing things to come out in their perfect time, which we all know in theory, and we all push it, don't we? And I suppose that comes back to this, we've got to allow lockdown to ease.
Mm.
There's so much about allowing, which we've had to do this last year. And I'm quite so aware of the people who are resisting lockdown, not believing in the virus, not believing in the this, not believing in that, pushing against. And no matter how valid their concerns are, whenever we push, we make something bigger, don't we? It's an extraordinary thing how we just don't realise that if we do our 50% spirit, we'll do the other half.
And what I see is that thing of ripeness, there's a bit in me that on the one hand thinks we've been locked in, as it were, and so, you know, only able to speak unless we happen to be on Zoom or a telephone or something, or pass them in the street. You know, God, the delight with which I pass people in the streets, like, hello, how are you? And probably a bit like Django in my kind of over-enthusiastic engaging with people I know in the street.
Somebody I have conversations with previously, I might find a subject we could talk about.
But also, in this year of being locked in, down, up, whatever, perhaps we've been ripening. And perhaps the fact that there are, I think, it'd be great swathes of us who just are going to be coming out as quite different people.
Yes.
And in a way, I think it's almost impossible to predict how that might be. I honestly, I'm sitting here not knowing, on the one hand, longing to be able to gather a little group of women and go to a cafe, and truly not knowing whether when I get there amongst that group of women whose vibrations I haven't felt for such a long time, will I be ecstatically happy or will I be completely overwhelmed? Because it's going to be one of those two things.
Yeah.
And I really don't know which.
And it may be both.
Yeah. It may be both.
Yeah.
But perhaps we have been ripening as a culture, and certainly, you know, that we've already talked about polarity today, but the polarities in our culture are getting more and more and more excessive, you know, as a government, parliament have just voted through from my perspective, extraordinarily draconian new powers for the police, on the one hand, at the same time as
making misogyny a crime.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. So it's very Aquarian. It's sort of, whoa, wah, dee, purr. That's good, that's bad.
Yeah. I mean, I what I see is the kind of lemniscatic polarity of our culture getting more and more and more extreme. Yeah. More and more.
So profound. This last year, it all depends how you addressed it. If your roots were already strong, this last year may have shaken your tree. And I think what I'm feeling at the moment is that my tree is being shaken. My roots are okay.
Yeah.
But even my roots, and they're fairly good roots, are a little bit sort of, how much longer?
Yeah, wobbled.
Yeah. There's been a lot of gales. A lot of gale forces, yeah. But it's how we look at everything. Intention is just everything. And I think that's been really helpful for me. But yes, we've been ripening. And I know in a way that I have, because when we started last year with lockdown, I was running an online Kabbalah group every fortnight. And it was going all right.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it wasn't enough once we got locked down. Because Kabbalah meetings or whatever kind of spiritual meeting or support meeting you're going to, it wasn't going to happen. So Zoom was really the only option.
Yeah.
Other online platforms may also. However, and so I said, let's go weekly, which doubled my workload, unpaid, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And people came flooding from all over the world, Australia, America, Spain, Italy, Switzerland. And we've been running it every week. We're going to have a holiday for Easter because I need a holiday, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, weeks without doing this work. But I could sort of get away with every other week of a little bit of talk and a sort of a meditation. But we're developing a group soul.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing work in what we call the upper room, and healing work and sort of building this vessel, which I'd started doing on the back of my own teacher's work with my Living in Presence Kabbalah group, which of course stopped last year. So we're still building this, and I'm in awe and terrified of what is developing in this group of people from all over the world, from all over, different cultures, different faiths, different colours, different lifestyles. Okay, there's only about 30 of us, but we're meeting every week for for the purposes of integrity and to develop our souls, you know. And yeah. So, yes, it's definitely fruiting. Scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Every Tuesday, I'm scared. Every morning, I go into meditation and say, help me with tonight. And my bishop, bless him, is giving me special training now. And it's all lifting up. And all the way through, I'm going, oh, God, I'm going to put my foot in it. Oh, God, I'm going to fall over. Oh, God, I'm going to make a great mistake. Oh, God, I'm going to go do this. And I did the other day because he's taught me, and I can't say any more about it, but I learned a technique to ensure that people who die have gone through if they've had a traumatic death. Mm-hmm. And I had to go and try it. In deep meditation. Well, it's no different from your shamanistic teaching.
Exactly, yeah.
And there were three Afghani girls who were shot dead, journalists or trainee journalists working in a media company. So I went to ensure that they went straight through. And it was quite a challenging thing because it was the first time I'd done it. And I got this distinct impression that spirit was laughing at me.
Having just written a book about that, I bet they're pissing themselves.
Yes! So I told the bishop about it, and he started laughing too. And he said, and I said, why are you laughing? And he said, because on your first time doing a brand new, deeply esoterical practice, you did it for three people. You're supposed to do it one at a time. You know, no wonder they were laughing. Talk about biting off more than you can chew. And I'm really scared of doing that. But you've got to just still stick your head above the parapet.
You've got to keep showing up.
You've got to keep showing up, and you will get it wrong.
Yeah.
And I do get it wrong, but you've just got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, swallow
up. Start all over again.
Start all over again.
And
yeah.
What's extraordinary about that is that I'm doing the very same thing. So I have gathered people from all over the world to do an online training for which the first thing is assembling of a cauldron into which...
Mm.
The cauldron will be the container in which all of the rest of the work
yes.
is held. Well, the container is the cauldron is the container yeah. in which all of the rest of the work is held. And, you know, that's just, here we are again. It's a year since we started doing this. That was almost the first thing we talked about, is that there are so many congruencies between your work and mine.
Mm. Yeah.
Even to the extent that we could use the very same words to describe a profoundly similar process that we're teaching. Through a medium which may or may not begin with Z.
Or S.
Yeah. And, you know, that it's just the spirits are the spirits.
Mm.
And, you know, around the world we've given them different names for sure.
And what is also profoundly fascinating for me is the founder of the particular tradition that I've studied, though it's a part of a much bigger tradition, died last year. And although he was very generous in his early days about women and non-Jewish people studying the tradition, in his elder days he wanted it to go on through the Jewish line and to a man. Mm. He sort of closed down a bit when he got very old, as one does, but it didn't go Osho. And I'm going to use that as a phrase now. I've got to find out what happened to Osho.
Yeah, what happened?
What happened?
Maybe he's not bad at all.
But and I remember sitting there at one of the meetings in London a few years ago when he actually said the successor needs to be a man and a Jew. And there was a susurration in the group at that point because there were a lot of women there and a lot of non-Jews. And he'd actually been very generous about this kind of thing. But what was really interesting was that he was Jewish. He was a Sephardi Jew. He cared about how his teaching was seen by the Jewish faith, which was a waste of his time because the Jewish faith weren't very impressed by it. But now, 6 months after his death, there are three primary teaching lines based in the United Kingdom. All three are run by women. All three are run by women who were at least raised in the Christian tradition, one of whom is actually a canon at Westminster Abbey.
Whoa.
And they're teaching this Jewish tradition. And we're taking it, as Dr. Margaret Barker, the author of the wonderful books about the First Temple, saying, because we've got to bring the ecology back. And it's the women who understand the ecology. As you taught me with walking the lemniscate, is this, because we have this concept in Kabbalah of da'at, which is the foundation of one world is the cat flap into the next world.
Mm-hmm.
Foundation is the cat flap down. And, of course, the cat flap or the foundation for the divine feminine mysteries are at the sacral chakra, connecting down to the earth.
Mm.
So my tradition now has got the cat flap opening down into the earth as well as the cat flap opening up to the sky. And if you haven't got both of them balanced, you're deluding yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As above, so below.
Yeah, so this, I think this is phenomenal. There'll be a lot of resistance around it, I'm sure. But three women and one woman's husband is working with her. That's wonderful, but it's still, that's a big change.
And my whole being just delights at this information. Not only is that women, but that's also joining the dots. If you aren't a Christian or a Jew, and you look at the lineage of the teachings of Christianity and Judaism, they are one line.
Yeah.
But the fracturing of Christianity and Judaism into kind of two separate groups has made them, I don't know, in our heads, I think, as a culture, into two separate things.
Yeah.
But Christianity is obviously a fork in the road, as it were. But it has more than half of its story in terms of time. Would I be right in saying?
Mm. In Judaism.
In Judaism. Yeah. And so, hurrah, that these teachings, which come from its beginnings, are being acknowledged.
And are being taken back to its beginnings.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. And we've got one gentleman on the group who's 96.
Wow, go ahead.
He's amazing. He's a widower. And I think it's possible that the group is, I don't know if it's been a lifeline for him this last year or whatever, but he's very what we call Hodian, very intellectual, very intelligent and very Jewish. Mm. And there's been a little bit of a thing about, because he always wants to talk about the intellect side of things. Mm. And we've worked out a system whereas he'll do a couple of minutes to the group and he's written a paper and that people can email him for the paper if they want. And but it's also fascinating because the old teaching, the group I went to, was very Hodian. It was all intellect. There's a certain amount of meditation, and certainly once a month meditation groups if you were in London, which I wasn't. But what I'm realising more and more and more is that these people are hungry for experience, not intellectual teaching, because that's not knowledge, it's not wisdom, it's got to be the experience. Mm. And when we go into meditation together, there was one day when I said, and we're all there in this room, we call it a room, but you'd call it the cauldron, which is the same thing, and I said, let's hold hands. And afterwards they said, I was holding hands with somebody else. And just that was, you know, the experience of actually the holding the hands of the other people again. Mm.
We do that too.
Do you?
Yes. At the beginning of each gathering, we create the circle so that each of us knows who we're sitting next to, who is to our right, who is to our left, and we all write the circle on a piece of paper so that we never lose sight of who else is in that circle and who's sitting to my right and who's sitting to my left. And
that's then we hold hands.
Yeah. So the circle exists.
Shall I steal that?
Absolutely. Help yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. But it was so lovely is once you open yourself up, once you've blossomed, once you've been fertilised, you're willing to become the fruit. Mm-hmm. Every conversation, like just like this one, comes up with another little thing and another little thing and another little thing that could all be woven together in how do we serve the peoples of this planet?
Yeah.
From grass,
both humans,
grass to archangels, the people of this planet. Archangels. Yeah,
are archangels exclusive to this planet?
No. Okay. No, but they potted out. We're quite interesting. They come along and have a look every now and then.
Okay, cool.
after about 30 minutes of us, they probably want to go and sit staring at one striving piece of algae on a planet circling a sun 5 billion miles away. Just go. Oh, honey, I wouldn't bother.
Yes. Well, humans, they're intense, huh?
Well, you've got 4 million years before you even need to worry about thinking, but frankly, I'd turn around now.
Oh, Lordy. Oh, I wanted to say something about what you were calling Hodian, and it's all gone away.
Intellect process.
Yeah.
Information. Think about, I'll just whit it if it comes to you. No, holding Kabbalah is the thought process, is information, communication, and trickery.
I know what it was. No, it was that. To my way of speaking, what you're calling Hodian is knowledge, and the thing that exists in the so below, so the opposite of Hodian, which is what?
experience.
What's this one though? What's this?
Oh, Yesod. That's the foundation.
From the place of Yesod, yes. That would be knowing. And knowledge and knowing
are different.
Are very different. And knowledge is an intellectual thing, but knowing can only come from experience.
Oh, I like that. Yes, because I've always used knowledge the way you use knowing, but knowing right. is actually an easier word to explain, isn't mm-hmm. it? Because you get knowing. Yes, da'at, which is the upper yes, or to the next to the spiritual world, is gnosis. We say, which is right. knowing. Yeah, you just know. It's like somebody says to me, how can you believe in God? And I don't believe in God. I just know.
Yeah.
And I know with a profound, I don't believe in the old man in the sky as we know, but there's a profound knowing and I can't lose it.
Yeah.
I've tried.
Yeah. 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 Isn't it funny though? I do, I mean, thank you, Django, for some wisdom of the part.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very pertinent. He's going to try and chew my chair now. Oh dear, that's completely put me off my stroke.
Knowledge and knowing, gnosis.
No, divinity. So I find it ever a puzzle that you and I, who there are so many things that are completely congruent in the way we go about our lives, the way we think of spirituality, our knowings, and yet we seem to have come up with such a different version of reality in a way. And that's fascinating to me. And there's the kind of, well, there's the, you know, the easy answer of you were successfully indoctrinated and I wasn't into a current, you know, into a particular view. But I don't think that's true, because I see your knowing.
Mm.
And so if your knowing's authentic and my knowing's authentic, what are they up to?
Mm. Well, you have to understand I am a heretic. I am not accepted by Church of England or Catholicism or anything like that. I'm just about accepted by the Methodists, because I haven't put that I do Methodist services on my website, because I am right on the edge. That's why I call myself an edge priest. Right. And so I'm scary and confusing to the Orthodox, and they won't have me on Thought for Day on Radio 2, for example. They love my work, but then they say, well, what denomination are you? So the yes odd of the world isn't ready for edge priests or edge priests.
So, but you are a denomination, though, aren't you?
I mean, I'm an apostolic liberal Catholic. Yes.
Yeah. So that exists as a church.
It does exist as a church, but it doesn't have a very good reputation for very many good reasons. Quite a lot of its priests are a bit flaky, but then quite a lot of the priests in the other denominations are.
So is that not kind of I can't think what the word is, but that's religious intolerance, isn't it? Of them say your version of Christianity lot of won't do.
Have you not noticed the religious intolerance is a thing?
Yes, I have, but I'm surprised that the BBC can be overtly religiously intolerant and have refused to have your particular kind of Christianity on the radio.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is interesting.
They won't be having me then.
No. Well, I got you on Radio Devon.
Yeah.
I think there were complaints, weren't there?
There were. Oh, it was awful, actually. It was awful. I was on Radio Devon and there was lots of yay, this is interesting, yay, this is great, until I opened my big fat mouth on the very last one, I think, and kind of rather badly expressed, well, very badly expressed, an idea that the kind of bad thing that happened to humanity from the point of view of our relationship with the earth was that farming came along. And of course, I live in Devon, in a farming community. And it got interpreted the way it sounds rather than interpreted the way I meant it.
And the farmers are up against it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And so, of course,
they took offence.
So many complaints.
And
that was the end of that.
Yeah.
And it was such a shame, because up until that point, you know, lots of people had really been with me.
Mm.
And it was, I expressed it so inelegantly. Mm. I'm really, you know, quite ashamed of myself.
Yeah.
About that,
which is exactly what I've done so many times, and you hear the words falling out of your mouth and can't take them back again. You've just I'm sure I've said before, Richard Rohr, Father Richard Rohr prays every day for a humiliation to make sure he doesn't get proud.
Oh, God.
We don't have to.
I know.
We don't have to.
I might pray for only one humiliation every day.
And on that cackling, I think we should end.
Okay. Lovely to see you.
You too.
Maybe. Do we get to see each other in the flesh for the next one?
Well, we're recording this one off, so we're meeting probably via Zoom next Wednesday, so I don't think so. I think okay. We may have
to. Oh, no, we have to wait till Easter, basically, don't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, April the 12th, I think, when we can sit in the car garden and have our teeth chattering and woo-hoo! Several beagles and hounds and jumping all over us. Oh. I'd eat cake. There must be cake.
Oh, there must be cake. There must be cake. There will be cake.
We're nearly at 10,000 downloads.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, go us. Thanks, go us. People.
Thank you. Bye.